Are you ready for God's word this morning? If you're ready, say, I'm ready. All right, turn to your neighbor, ask them, are you ready? Are you really, really, really ready? Amen. I'm getting ready to speak and I'm excited about the word the Lord gave me. Amen. Father, thank you. Holy Spirit, we honor you. You are the sweet spirit. And we thank you because you are here. We know you are here. We can feel your presence. And we know wherever you are, you come with your essence. You come with your power. You come with your grace. You come with your gift. One of your essence is to teach. We ask you, teach us today. Open our minds. Open our hearts. Enlighten us. Let your word come with power. Let it come with grace. Let it come with precision. I surrender myself to you, Holy Spirit. Use me to be a blessing to your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I was praying about, today, the Lord just gave me a word, a question that he wants me to ask you. And the question is, are you growing? Are you growing? Are you growing? He wants me to speak to you about growth. Hallelujah. Are you growing? Especially as we get to the middle of the year, sometimes we're excited at the beginning of the year. Towards the end of the year, sometimes we have another rush of excitement, momentum. But sometimes in between, we don't know how to handle it. We don't know what to do. But I think one of the things you can at least do for yourself is to ensure you are growing. And growth is essential. The scripture has so much to say about what God feels about growing. In fact, if you read the scripture, it's filled with admonition and sometimes charges or challenges for us to make sure we are growing. One of those is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. The scripture says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. I want you to look at that word, say, but grow in grace. I mean, it's putting the responsibility on them to make sure they grow. I mean, it's interesting, he's saying, even something as almost intangible as grace, you know, sometimes grace is something that we know what it is, but we are like, how do I, you know, it's not something that is tangible, even though it is. But the Bible says we can grow in it. Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, many of us are probably more familiar with that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, grow up. Grow up. All right? So he's saying, I want you to not just, don't just be saved. Don't just say, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm going to heaven, I'm cool with Jesus. He's saying you must grow up in your salvation. That tells me there are people who don't grow up in their salvation. Who do not. They stay there. They are saved. They are comfortable. But they refuse to go to the next level. Hallelujah. So we must grow. I'll read another scripture that I think just tells you how God feels about growth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. To abound is to increase. Say always. It's not even, he's saying always, regardless of where you are, what you are, what season you are. He said, I want you to always abound, always grow. I mean, why? Because growth is significant. It's important to God. Growth is a sign of life. What do we call a tree that ceases to grow? Dead. Right? It's a dead tree. All right? So growth is a sign that you are alive, that you are active, you are living, you are breathing. And growth is in all ramifications. Growth of a business is like the business is alive. All right? How many times does the stock market crash because a company releases their quarterly report, right? And they're not growing. And we're like, wow, Tesla sales was down last quarter. And everybody's like, oh, the wall is about to fall, right? And stock market take a dive. It's always very fascinating to me that people just all of a sudden feel like, wow, something is wrong, simply because a company is not growing or not growing enough. Because everybody recognizes that growth is good. Growth is increase. It's a sign that someone somewhere is making the right decision. If they miss, if Tesla, Apple, whatever, just miss their estimates, refuse to grow, then someone is saying maybe some bad decisions is being made somewhere, right? So people are concerned because growth is a sign of life. Growth is a sign of progress, right? Growth is a sign that we are making progress. That is positive. Something is good. Something good is going on. Hallelujah. So growth is very important and significant to God. Hallelujah. Now, there are some myths that people have about growth. You know, one of the myths people have or misconception people have about growth is that growth is automatic. Growth is not automatic. Now, growing old can be automatic, right? Growing up is not automatic. All right, don't just grow old. Growing old is a function of time. Whether you are sleeping all day, whether you are lazying around, you're growing old, right? And that's what that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about growing up. We're talking about making progress. We're talking about growing up in your salvation. It's not enough to say, oh, I've been saved for 30 years, 20 years, 40 years, you know, 6 months or 10 months or 10 years. It's enough. It's not enough. What we want to know is you're making progress. You're better off this year than you were last year, right? You can do some things that you couldn't do before. Or you can do something with ease now. Things that used to be very difficult, now you're doing it with a lot more ease. So growth is not automatic. Hallelujah. Growth also is not absolute. It's not you can say, I have grown now. Or I'm growing. No, it's not something that is that absolute, right? It is continuous. You know, it is always, growth is always talked about in terms of continuous, right? Growing. So what we want to know is, are you growing, right? You may not be where you want to be, right? But you are not what you used to be. Is that clear? I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I may not be where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. I hope that's true. I hope I've not led you to lie. We can say, God, forgive us, right? But we can turn it to a faith confession, right? I'm not where I used to be, all right? And that should be your goal. Your goal is, I want to make progress. I want to make progress all around. So growth is not absolute. Some people think growth is sweet. Yes, the idea of growth is sweet. Growing makes you feel good about yourself. But the process of growth is not always sweet. And that's why people sometimes don't grow. Because what it takes to grow takes some work, right? Takes some effort. Sometimes it might even be a painful process. All right, the process of growth requires. So it's not always rosy, sweet. It's not always, something that you enjoy. Sometimes the process of going to the next level, whether in your career, involves some work, right? Involves taking some exam, involves learning. It involves, just going out of your comfort zone. Sometimes it involves you getting a job that you were not fully prepared for and you have to stay all night to learn what you're going to do the next day, all right? But after doing that for a while, you realize you are better off. Some people don't change job because they don't want to income. They so love what they are doing now, they can do it with their eyes closed. And they are like, this is where I'm going to be. People like that, they don't grow. One of the best way to grow is to allow God, to put you in a place where, to give you growth almost in advance, right? So you can now grow up to it, right? Sometimes God will put us in those places where we need to stretch. And God does that even spiritually. He puts us in situations that requires us to really stretch, that are required to bring out our spiritual muscles so we can exercise it. People who always look for comfort don't experience growth. Whether it's emotional, whether it's whether it's a mentor in terms of your knowledge, whether it's spiritual. People who just look for something comfortable, they don't experience growth. They don't experience growth in their faith. Spirit leads me to where my faith is without borders, right? If you think of that song, it's a song of growth. Spirit, take me to a place where I need to use my faith. If you live your life without faith, chances are that you are not growing. So you always have to stretch. You always have to take some steps. You always have to really be doing something that will require you to really trust God to do it. You always have to ask God, Lord, Spirit, please lead me to a place that will allow me to really stretch, that will allow me to pray all night, that will allow me to be able to study, that will allow me to really recognize my need for you. When you just operate from a place of comfort, you don't experience growth. So let's address that. But something I want you to also know about growth, especially the way the Bible presents it, it is multidimensional. It's multidimensional. And I will read two passages from Luke. Luke chapter 2. I'll read two passages that I really, that I love. One of them is Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Luke 2:40 is describing John the Baptist, his process of growth. And I love how the Bible describes that. It said, and the child grew. I want you to say grew. See, it's good. The Bible says the child, that's like a very beautiful story about him, that he didn't just stay where he was, even though there was so much prophecy about John. John is, came from God. It was by the Holy Spirit, divine, connection, orchestration. His father met God in a very powerful way. All those things happened, but that was not enough about John, right? Here we see that the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. I hope that will be your story. I hope if God wants to describe you, he can say, and Joseph, John, Deborah, Demilade, Tayo grew and became strong and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. I pray you will have such a testimony in Jesus' name. Now let's go to next verse, same chapter, verse 52. This is talking about Jesus, even our Lord Jesus. I mean, if someone does not need growth, that will be like Jesus. After all, he was God, right? He was God. He was God. He came from heaven. He's God by himself. Came from heaven straight to the womb of Mary. But even Jesus grew. And I love that. In the New Living Translation, Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Can you see that Jesus grew? He didn't just remain stagnant. He didn't just stay in one place. He grew in wisdom. And look at the different dimensions that the Bible talks about his growth, right? He wasn't just growing physically. He wasn't just growing physically. His stature wasn't just, he wasn't just growing in height, but he was growing cognitively. Wisdom. His decision making was getting better. That's how to know someone is growing in wisdom, right? He's learning from his mistakes. He's making better decisions. You know, he's speaking, I mean, wise words, you know, making good judgments. He's growing in wisdom and also growing in favor with God. Simply means his relationship with God was growing. You know, you can also grow in your relationship with God. Don't be stagnant. In your relationship with God. Don't be stagnant in your prayer. Don't just be someone that just, you know, you just do this cross sign every morning and you just say, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, just go with me in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's it. That's what you did 5 years ago. That's what you still do now. You have not increased in your knowledge of God, in your prayer, you know, in your wisdom. In your understanding of God, in your walk with God, in your understanding of the Holy Spirit, you have not acquired some spiritual, you know, revelation. Jesus grew in favor with God. That is, you know, to have favor with someone is to have good relationship with them. That's what it means. That is, Jesus grew in his relationship with God. But I also love what the Bible says about him. And all the people. That is, even Jesus grew in his human relationship. Right? In his human relationship. He grew. You can tell by the people around him. You know, that means sometimes you outgrow some people, right? You outgrow the gossipers. You know, there are some people that all just want to do is to talk about other people. I mean, yeah, after a while, if you continue to grow, you outgrow them. You want to talk about ideas. You want to talk about things that are great, right? You want to talk about higher level. You know, I love that song, Higher Ground, my favorite hymn. He said, my faith has no desire to stay where doubt arise and fear dismay. Others may dwell where these abound, but my prayer and my aim is higher ground. Now, sometimes when you are fellowshipping with chickens, We just like to... When you grow, you can't do that anymore. Places of negativity, doubt, gossip, you know, all those things. What do you think? What do you think? That lady that gave a testimony, do you think this? I mean, all these things that are just, you know, nitpicking, unnecessary. There are some people, that's all they want to talk about. But I want to talk about what God is doing. I want to have some friends that they talk about, you know, new things they're learning from God. He said, of recent, you know, God has been teaching me something. I've been learning something from the Holy Spirit. That's what I want to hear. I want to have some people that they, our conversation is about that. Our conversation is about where they're going, their career, what they're doing, what is their plan, what's their vision, you know, investments that they are making, right? You know, what is the goal? What's that? Some people just want to talk about how, you know, they are struggling, you know, to pay bills, how life is hard, how, oh, this country is so difficult, you know, this life is this, that. I mean, some people just want to talk about things that are just not great. Hallelujah. So, Jesus, you are growing even in your relationship with people. But it also means that even people interacting with you, they leave you, they are like, man, have you, I mean... After talking with that person, I feel like I can take over the world. Right? You know some people like that? I mean, you have conversation with them, you can feel the presence. I mean, some people just try and pray after you have conversation with them. You have to plead the blood of Jesus. Because they've dragged you below the ground. Right? It takes you like the first 30 minutes, you are walking your way up to get to the throne of grace. But there are some people, after having spent an hour of conversation with them, you just want to say, Shakande, Heriyambosata. Woo! You want to say, man, how have I been reading my Bible? I'm not seeing what they are seeing. They see something that I don't see. You want to say, God, please help me. I want to have faith like that. I want to be able to see things like that. They see things, they are positive, they see progress, they see movement. I mean, they look at the world differently than you do. I mean, their life is just great. Hallelujah. You want to be that person. Jesus grew in favor with all the people. Hallelujah. Now, in the next 20 minutes, I'm going to go through what I call the evidence of growth. How to know you are growing. How do I know? How do I see? How do I see that I'm growing? So I'll give you 7 things that let you know you're growing. If they are there, then you're growing. If they're not there, then something must be done. Hallelujah. Number one. Are your desires changing? Are your desires changing? See, are they becoming godly and godly? If your desire is still fleshy, you know, are you beginning to miss your old life less and less? You know, that's how you know you're growing. That, you know what, I don't miss that life anymore. Some people still miss their old life. Of course, when you first become a Christian, you always feel like, you know, you are just being nailed to the cross all the time. Oh, you know, you pass through a club, you're like, wow, in those days. You know, that, you know, you just miss it a little bit, right? You're like, ah, if not for Jesus. You know, you're missing it. You still miss that old life. But after a while, you just realize, I don't miss it anymore. Then you're growing. You know, you're saying that I'm not, you know, my desires are changing. My taste board is changing. Right? Taste board is changing. Is that what, if you eat very nasty food and you don't eat right, you don't eat healthy, you know, the first time you start eating healthy, you feel like you're being crucified, right? You feel like you're punishing yourself. I mean, eating all this salad, you know, all this, you know, wow, this is... You know, but after a while, you actually begin to enjoy good food. then that's growth. You know, now we always start from a place where we're struggling. You know, the last thing to catch up is our desire. Hallelujah. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That means you are favored. You are blessed. Something good is beginning to happen in your life. That's what Jesus meant. I mean, if your desire is becoming righteous. Righteousness is not something that you are just doing as a struggle, right? You actually begin to enjoy righteousness. You begin to enjoy, you know, godly things. Hallelujah. So that's how you know you are growing. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Philippians 2:13, for God, it is God who works in you, right? Both to will and to do. You see, God is actually at work in you. You know, he's not just doing, he's now also willing. Those are matching. So number one, are your desires changing? Number two, is your obedience coming less from out of discipline and now coming from a place of joy? And I'm going to explain what I mean. I know it looks a little long-winded, right? But what it means is there will be a time in your life when your obedience is coming out of discipline, right? Discipline is good. Discipline is, we need discipline. We will still always need discipline. But there will be a time when everything is about discipline. You know, to pray, you have to set an alarm. You know, the first time alarm rings, you stop it. You do another one for 5 minutes. And, you know, you just, oh, man, I have to pray. And if you don't pray, then you remember that song. Oh! If I don't pray now, I will feel so bad. And Satan might actually attack me. So let me pray. And you go on your knees and you pray. And you pray and you're looking at time. Ah, it's only 5 minutes. I've been praying for a long time. It's just 5 minutes. That's good. Your obedience is coming out of personal discipline. But something was shipped after a while. You actually see that it's coming out of joy. I mean, the thought of prayer actually become exciting to you. You know, that's why David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of God. It's actually an excitement. Hallelujah. It's not just discipline, right? It's an excitement. So your obedience is now coming out of gladness, out of joy. Giving is out of joy. You're not saying, wow, do I have to give? You know, you're arguing, you're looking for ways not to give. You're just saying, this money that I give to church, can you imagine if I do this? I mean, you're confused. No. I mean, but you do it anyway. Many of us would do it anyway because that's what God wants us to do. There's a place for that. But I think after a while, the thought of giving to God excites you. If you're beginning to turn that corner, then you are growing. Hallelujah. The thought of helping other people, the thought of serving, obeying the Holy Spirit, changing your plan to fit that of God, begin to really give you some joy. You're not just doing it and you're like, oh, I have to do it. But you're beginning to derive some joy from it. If that begins to happen to you, you are growing. Praise the name of Jesus. Number three is the quality of your friends and of your friendship changing. Is it getting better? Are you attracting more quality friendship or friends? Or is this just same people that make fun of you? Those same people that drag you behind? Those same people that always suggest things that are not godly? Or you can't even talk serious things with them. If you talk serious things with them, they are rolling their eyes. They are like, oh, here we go again. Or, you know, the quality of your friends are becoming people that are inspiring. People that really challenge you. It's good to have people around you, they challenge you. But, you know, likes attract likes, right? So because those things are, they are not just artificial like that. They are things that just reflect what is inside of you. You would notice that either you begin to rub on your friends and, you know, and they are also beginning to like higher things, greater things, more serious things, all right? Or you can't really hang out with them anymore. And you are now beginning to attract other friends. You will also notice that even your friendship, even if you maintain the friends that you have, your friendship, the quality is better. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's stay focused. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Thank God for the ushers. They are helping us. So the quality of your friends and friendship is getting better. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise men will be wise, but the companions of fools will be destroyed. We don't want to be in that. Number four is the quality of your thoughts improving. Your thoughts. You will see that junk thoughts no longer fill your mind. So make some assessment. Say, what is the quality of my thoughts life? All right? What is the quality of my thoughts life? Am I just always thinking negative? Am I still always thinking? In my fact, Philippians 4:8 tells us, Philippians 4:8 tells us, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So you should put your thought against these principles. Am I always thinking what is true? Or am I always just thinking just lies? You know, the lies of the enemy is just what I'm, you know, thinking on. Oh, what is true? What is truth is from God, right? Am I always thinking what is pure? Is my thought pure? Or is it becoming purer and purer? All right? Excellent things, praiseworthy things, lovely things, admirable things. Am I getting to that place? In fact, there's another scripture that I want to share with you that I love. 1 Corinthians 14:20. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babies, but in understanding be mature. I think if you're reading the King James Version, he said, in understanding be men. Be an adult in your thoughts. Are you thinking adult thoughts? Or you are just thinking baby thoughts? All right? So you see that your understanding is improving. If that is you, then you are improving. So it's your thoughts life improving. Now, if your thoughts life improves, it's going to affect your vocabulary. Right? So is your vocabulary changing? Well, when I grew up with vocabulary was a word in my house when I was growing up. My dad was a vocabulary junk. Oh, junkie. You have a whole book. Is your vocabulary increasing? How many new words have you learned? He's showing off you're going this direction because he's going to ask you another vocabulary. You know, you're enjoying watching movies. Somebody say, well, say, what do you mean of that word? You're like, it just ruined your movie. You're like, I'm here to enjoy a movie. I'm not here to learn some vocabulary. But it's actually true that when you grow, isn't that how we see our kids grow? All of a sudden they say some words. You're like, wow! Say some words. Right? They say new words. They learn new words. Another new words. Then they construct some sentences. And you are intrigued. You're fascinated. That is how it is even in our spiritual growth. In fact, you see the quality of your prayer is not just about how long you pray. It's actually about the content, the vocabulary, what you say. I mean, you pray and you're like, man, I can't believe I'm doing this. The quality of what comes out of my mouth. You know a growing person because they begin to speak differently. They speak faith. Hallelujah. They speak faith. They speak positive. They speak great things. So is your vocabulary changing? Is he reflecting God? Is he becoming more and more God of? Can we fix this? Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you getting blessed by this word? Yes. Hallelujah. Number six, are you embracing change in a better way? Oh, number six, are you embracing change? All right? Change can be scary, right? In fact, oftentimes change means good change, positive change, means you're stepping out of your comfort zone. Right? I'm facing the unknown. That is change. But it's also a vital part of personal growth. Are you open to the idea of stretching? Of stepping out of what you are comfortable? Right? Whether it's in your career, you're going to have to be able to say, you know, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something new. I have a young man, you know, I'm coaching. And he started working. He was actually doing his, IT or, internship, And he told me he's been doing one thing for 4 months. Just one thing, just one single. And I said, go to your boss, go to him, go to your report and say, I want to do more. This is actually the time to do it. It doesn't cost them anything. I mean, it's actually going to impress them that we have a young man that is saying, boss, I want to do more things. I want to do more things. I want to get out of my comfort zone. I've been doing this, now I know, I got it. Can you give me something new to do? And that should be our attitude. You know, are you embracing change or are you the one that is always resisting change? That is always saying, no, this is what I was hired to. Some people are so legalistic when it comes to work. Oh, you know. They go and bring out the job adverts. This is what I was hired to do. I'm not doing another thing. This is my job description. Nothing else. Things have changed. That's 5 years ago. If you still want to do that, you're probably out of job because those things, we don't even do them anymore. Right? Things change. So you have to be someone that is open to change. I remember many years ago when we switched to online giving. I mean, that's like 12 years ago or something like that. One of our young people came to me and said, Pastor, it looks like you don't want us to give young people. I thought I was young that time too, but I said, what do you mean? I mean, we have, everything we announced with this, just give, write a check. He said, but I don't have a check. Who doesn't have a check? He said, really, I don't have a check. Do you know every Sunday for me to actually give my tithe, I have to go to an ATM and withdraw money? He said, really? He said, because I don't have a check. So you better make a way for us to give without a check. What? So I called some of the leaders. I said, we got to figure out how people can give without a check. Because I just learned something new, that some people don't have a check. Hallelujah. And that's how we started it. Now, the change was, so we had a meeting. I remember we had a meeting and we're talking now. We're going to be giving. Somebody said, oh, so how are we going to pray on the offering? Good question, right? Because what do we do? We put the basket around. We throw away basket. Everybody put their, check, cash, and we bring it to the altar. And someone said, Eternal King of Glory, bless this offering, Lord. Let it be a sacrifice. Let the fire fall down and consume this sacrifice. So how are we going to do that now? I wasn't expecting that. I said, God is online too. God can follow that giving in the cyberspace, right? Hallelujah. I mean, that was a great shift. It looks funny, but that prepared us for the pandemic. So we started this 12 years ago. By pandemic, 70% of our giving was online. Before pandemic, 70%. Can you imagine? How can you be more prepared for the pandemic? We did not skip a beat. That's why the first year of pandemic, our giving increased. We had a 20% more money in this church the first year of pandemic. Why? Because we embrace change. I don't know what change God is bringing to you. I don't know. I think some of you, God is bringing some change to you. Change of thinking. Things you've believed. You know, sometimes we just believe something. Somebody asks a question, I don't go on a date yesterday. Sometimes we feel so righteous about what we believe. I don't go on date night. Date night belongs to married people. I'm married now. I mean, we have all kinds of things we just hold on to ourselves, but God is saying, you need to change. You need to change. Something new is coming. AI is coming. It's already here. Right? I was dealing with an accountant in one of the organizations I work with. The accountant does not even know what is called QuickBooks. That's an accountant. So I belong to this organization, our pastor's network. And I'm like, the accountant has to do payroll manually, calculate. So I said, Bishop, I'm going to fix this. He puts me on a three-way call. I'm talking with the accountant. I said, no, we don't need you for payroll. We'll set it up in QuickBooks. He'll do it automatically. And he's like, really? Yeah. He didn't believe it. First quarter, he said, can you send me all the schedules, all the this, all the that? Have you paid all the payroll taxes? I said, oh, yeah. QuickBooks paid the payroll taxes. I printed it and I sent it to him. Second quarter, he asked me, can you send it to me again? I sent it to him. I said, when is this guy going to believe? Those people will be out of a job. I'm glad he's an old man. He's going to retire soon. Can you? Things are changing fast. So if you don't embrace change, you will become an history very quickly. Say, Lord, give me the willingness to change. See, God is always changing things. Even us is introducing us to a new way of doing things, new way of looking at people. You know, one of the struggles sometimes parents have with children is we don't like change. They are change. They already changed. They are different. And we are fighting. We are struggling. Well, I know. I think we should be more open to change. Because God is a God of change. He's changing things. Our way of thinking. Sometimes our way of upbringing, some things we've learned, we've been told, open to change. Allow God to change you. Are you embracing change better? Number seven, are you learning from your mistakes? Are you learning from your mistakes? That's how you know you are growing. Are you learning from your mistakes? Or are you repeating the same mistakes over and over again? You know, someone says the definition of a fool is someone that they do the same thing over and over again, right? And get the same results. And they're expecting different results. No. Are you willing to learn from your mistake? The righteous fall 7 times and rise again, right? But the wicked stumble, or the foolish stumble when calamity strikes. They don't learn. They don't rise. They don't say, no, I've made mistakes. I want to go to the next level. Hallelujah. I want God to release grace for growth into this house. Amen. Can we lift up our hands and say, Lord, please release grace. Release grace for growth. We want to be people with growth mindsets. Because the God is calling you to change. He's calling you to change. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, everything has become new. And they are still becoming new. God is calling you to embrace change. He's calling you to the next level. He's calling you to growth. He's making you uncomfortable. Are you willing to accept the discomfort? Because they are leading to growth. They are taking you to the next level. Next level in your career. Next level in your ministry. Next level in your walk with God. Next level in your personal growth. In your effectiveness. God is calling you to embrace growth. Say, Lord, I'm answering that call. I'm going to grow. Thank you, Jesus. If there's someone here, God is calling you to step from just naturalness to supernatural. You have not known Jesus. You don't have an encounter with Jesus. It's not an experience for you. It's something you heard. Being born again is not your experience. You know about it, but it's theoretical. You've not encountered Jesus in a definite way. That's a call today. And God is saying, I'm here. I can call you to that next level. And you want to say, Pastor, please pray for me. I'm ready for that experience. Can you lift up your right hand? Thank you. I want to pray for you if you're in that category. God bless you. Can you stand up where you are? Because I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. If you raise your hand, right hand, please stand up where you are. I want to pray. Gentlemen, please stand up where you are. God bless you. You know what? I think there's a couple of more people that need to stand up. Please. God bless you. All right. God bless you. That's amazing. There's probably one more person that needs to stand up and say, I'm embracing God's change. And change is a supernatural change. It happens in the inside of you. Jesus comes in. He gives you a new heart. He gives you a new spirit. He changes everything from the inside. And from today, your life will never remain the same. I want you to put that hands on your chest. And I just follow me. Just repeat after me. Jesus, I thank you because you died for me. You were buried. And on the third day, you rose just for me. Today, I accept your sacrifice. I confess you are my Lord. You are my Savior. Give me a new heart. Give me a new spirit. Make me a brand new person. And I embrace the change that you are about to introduce into my life. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, can you just make sure you give them? Where are the ushers? Can you make sure we give them the form to fill? Please. If you made that decision after service, Pastor Hubie will be here. Someone will be here. Please talk to them. They would like to talk to you. Father, thank you. We release grace upon this house. I release grace upon this house. The inertia, the force of the Holy Spirit to push us, to lead us, to get us, to midwife us into that next level that we need to be in our lives, in our relationship with you, our relationship with one another, in our career, in our purpose in life. We are ready, Lord, for the change. We are ready, Lord, for the next level. Let it be so by your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give our, put our hands together for Jesus? Let's give him